Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Franchise Hockey Manager 3, the next generation of hockey strategy. It is available now. Franchise Hockey Manager 3 is the deepest, most authentic hockey strategy experience that you can find, including, for the first time ever, officially licensed by the NHL. It's got an all-new mode called Path to Glory that lets you jump in and have fun really quickly. You can take the reins of your favorite NHL franchise to capture the Stanley Cup Championship. Of course, you can play international leagues, you can play historic leagues. There are so many features, options, and tactics that are in Franchise Hockey Manager 3. It's an amazing experience. It's just $39.99. You can pick it up today on PC or on Mac. You can get it through outoftheparkdevelopments.com, the website, or you can get it right through Steam. That is Franchise Hockey Manager 3, available today. Well, hey, everybody. Rich Grisham here. Thank you, as always, for listening to Press Row Podcast. I am taking over the hosting duties this week for Brian Wiedeye, who is on assignment in the streets of Seattle. And I'm excited because we are getting back together with a good friend. It's been far too long since we've spoken to him. From the streets of Chicago, our good friend, Mr. Cicero Holmes. Mr. Holmes, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Rich. It has been way too long. I've been running around and trying to be versatile like Kristaps Porzingis.
There you go.
Well done. Yeah, and I'm working on my jumper.
So, man, there's just so many different directions that we could go. But the first thing I want to say is, you guys over at Spawn on Me, if you're not aware of Spawn on Me, if you're not tapped into what Cicero and Khalif and Sharif have got going on there, go do so. So before we get into anything, what's going on in the world of Spawn on Me? You know, what's happening? You guys are, I mean, every time I listen to a show, you're interviewing some very important person in the world of video games and sports video games and non-sports video games and everything. So what's the latest going on there? What do you guys got going on?
Well, we are continuing to and thank you so much for saying that. We're continuing to go out and try and get the very, very best guest for Chicago. Spawn on Me podcast, the number one podcast in the streets of Chicago. So, yeah, so we had a Mafia 3 roundtable with some writers of color in the games industry. And also the second part was with the senior writer for Mafia 3, Mr. Charles Webb, where we really dove deep into the game and got a great understanding of what it took to build what I believe to be a really, really great narrative, one of the great narratives of this year of gaming. And everything else in Spawn on Me is great. Stay tuned to our Twitter page and our web page, our homepage, spawnon.me. We're going to be announcing our next charity event, our annual charity event that we hold over Martin Luther King Day weekend, Spawn for Good. And we're going to be talking about the partner and the cause that we'll be representing this year. So I'm really, really excited about it. And I hope everyone else in the community and around the world will be too.
And that's one of the things that I really has always drawn me to you and Khalif and Spawn on Me is that you guys just do things. You don't, you talk about things, but you do stuff. And there's so many people who talk about things and don't do stuff, and right. And I'm just it's always so cool to see what you guys do. I mean, it's amazing. Every time I look at my podcast app and I see who you got on, I'm like, wow, they got them, man. Like, these guys are just killing it. And like your charity events, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that people don't do. People love to talk about stuff and love to complain about things, and a whole lot of people don't do stuff. So that's another reason I want to just give you guys so much credit, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it. We work really hard, and our community is both the active community that listens to Spawn on Me week in and week out, and the community that doesn't even know that we exist is vitally important to us, and we want to make sure that we're able to give back. And there's a little colloquialism that I like to say, and a lot of people like to say, don't talk about it, be about it. And we definitely in Bricaga, we're all about, you know, putting our actions where our mouth is.
So what are you, not sports games wise, we'll get to that. What are you playing okay. these days? Like, what's in your rotation? What do you got going on? Big time? What are you, have you revisiting? Just when you sit down and play, man, what's on your, in your rotation right now?
So everything that is the right way to phrase it, because it is, it's revisiting older games. It's the new games. This year, you know, a lot of people talk about 2007 as the golden era for especially 21st century console gaming. I would say that 2016, while it may not be 2007, it's like 2007 part deux. it has been a phenomenal year for gaming. If you are a gamer of any sort, there has been a game out for you this year that was really, really good. So right now I'm playing Watch Dogs 2 and Battlefield 1, and Dishonored 2 just came out, and I may dip my toe into Call of Duty. There's Titanfall 2, obviously the aforementioned Mafia 3, Gears of War 4, and a game that I keep going back to, and these are not even the sports games, and I'm playing a ton of sports games as well. A game that I keep going back to is a nerdy game for me, and that is Elite Dangerous by Frontier Studios. Mm. It's a great, great title. If you guys are big space astronomy junkies and you own an Xbox One or a PC, please check out Elite Dangerous. Amazing game.
What is that about? Like, what it is? I know very little about that game, but I've had multiple people tell me it's good. What is it about it that's so good?
So Elite Dangerous sets itself in the Milky Way galaxy. It's as close to a scientific approximation of the actual Milky Way galaxy as you possibly can have, over 4.5 billion stars. You start out with a small ship and a small amount of money, and you're on a space station, and you basically get to figure out what it is that you want to do with your life as a spaceship captain. So do you want to be a pirate? Do you want to be a bounty hunter? Do you want to be a smuggler? Do you want to mine? Whatever it is, you want to be an Uber driver, a space Uber driver, and just shuttle people from, you know, one end of the galaxy to the other for money. Any of those things, any and all of those things you can do. It really is an open world type of game. You can play it with multiple actual real life people. There are NPCs in the game. There are so many different things that you can do, and the graphics are great. The physics are great. It is just a nerdy, nerdy, nerdy game, and I love it.
And are you playing that on PC, or are you playing that on console?
No, I'm playing that on the Xbox One. So okay. If you guys are looking to go out into space and you need somebody to help you out and get and start the ropes, come in and check me out. Look for group. Check out Stubby Stan. I'll be there for you.
So not only are there a lot of games, sports games and AAA games out there, there's also a lot of hardware out yes. there too. You got yes. your PS4 Pro. You got your PS4 Slim too, I right. think.
Yes.
You got your Xbox One S.
Yes.
You got your Xbox One Slim. You got your NES Classic, which nobody can get their hands on, but everybody wants to get their hands on it.
Of course.
You got your PSVR. What,
right.
What have you picked up? What have you not picked up? What do you want to pick up? What's the hardware situation at Cicero's place?
Right. So right now I am staring at my 2 terabyte Xbox One S. I bought it at launch. Nice. I really love it. It is
gosh, 2 terabytes. That sounds so good.
It is.
I need it.
It is great. It is great to have the 2 terabytes. I had already bought a 1 terabyte external hard drive, so now I have 3 terabytes. It's you know, unbelievably, it's not overkill because of all of the games that are out right now. You know, you need all of that space, and these games are getting bigger and bigger as they continue to move on. The other stuff, the Nintendo console, the classic, it's cute. I wish they had wireless controllers, because the cords for those controllers are really short. It's like maybe 2 feet, which just doesn't make a lot of sense. Really, really difficult to play on a giant screen. I've got I play my games on a 60-inch television. So it's going to be kind of hard sitting 2 feet away from a 60-inch television to play
Mario Brothers. It's easy. You just can't see a thing. Your eyes just bug out of your head after about a minute. Like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm sure my grandmother talked about me going blind or something. Yeah. I have not gotten on the PlayStation bandwagon yet. I haven't got a PS4 Pro yet or a PSVR. I love the VR tech. I've got a Gear VR for Samsung devices that don't blow up. But I love VR as a concept, but I haven't. I just don't think there's enough software there yet for me to invest the $400 plus, before you buy software to get involved with PSVR at this moment. PlayStation Pro, I won't be purchasing until Horizon Zero Dawn comes out. So in February.
Okay.
But the rest of the stuff, I mean, all the stuff looks great. So, I mean, if you're a gamer and you want some games, there are games out. If you're a gamer, you want a console, there are consoles galore. You get everything. Anything you want this year is great for a gamer.
It's kind of confusing. Like, I'm sort of in this business and I don't even know what to do or what to get. Like, I don't have a 4K TV.
Right.
So I don't feel any compelling need to go get the Xbox One S or the PS4 Pro.
Right.
However, I read that you can, or it is, some games are better on the improved consoles. But I don't know. I'm still in the camp of my launch day PS4 and my launch day Xbox One both work great, with the exception of I have to constantly, to borrow a phrase from my friends at the Player One podcast, I have to constantly clean the fridge. Whenever I get a new game, someone's got to go. And right. I don't like making that choice. I know right. everything's in the cloud. I know my saves are out there, but I don't like it. I don't like it. I want to do something. And I know that you can get the external hard drives and stuff, but at least on the PlayStation 4, they're a little bit complicated. And then just every single month, PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Games with Gold keeps giving me more new stuff. I think there's two more great new games that just came out on the Xbox One, Games with Gold. Like, I'm really... It's hard for me to sort of figure out when the right time is to go. Like, there's no compelling reason for me to go get new hardware because my launch hardware is working fine.
Right.
But I want something new, but I still don't even know what I want. It's weird. And of course, on the other hand, I just got, thanks to a incredibly wonderful coworker, shipped me a NES.
With nice.
About 7 or 8 games, and my son, who's now 9, who is a huge video game fan, gee, I wonder where he got that from. We've been playing that a little bit the last few days, playing Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3. He knows those games from his 2DS, but there's just something different about playing them in their original state on the original hardware with the original controllers.
Wait a minute. You have an actual NES.
An actual NES.
Not an NES Classic.
Correct. I have not been able to get an NES Classic. Granted, I haven't tried that hard.
Right.
Because, like you, I work for a living. So right. I don't have, I not exactly got, a whole lot of time to sit around and click F5 and try to score one of those. The day that I can walk into any sort of building and actually see one on the ground and pick one up, I will buy two, one for me, one for my son. But no, I'm playing an actual old legit NES, where you got to blow on the cartridges and turn it on, turn off a couple times till the red light stops blinking, like the whole thing. And it's really interesting experience to share that with, my son. I'm like telling him, like, yeah, this is what games were, man, back in the day. And again, he knows a lot of the aesthetics and the games from his 2DS, but there's definitely something something different, more weighty, for lack of a better term, when you're actually playing them on the real original console with the real wired controllers and the real sounds and sights. It's pretty fun to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Abbey Road on CD or Abbey Road on vinyl in mono.
That is, you know, perfect. Perfect analogy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, but it's great to – I wish I could be a fly on the wall with you and your son and watching him play those games. I want to see him get frustrated at some of those games that are possibly hard.
They're hard. There's this game called
– Possibly hard.
There's this game called Star Voyager. I don't know if you know.
Oh, yes. I don't know.
We have no idea what to do. Literally no idea. We turn it on. We're like, oh, look, there's a space station. And then we hit the select button, and there's this map, and there's blinking stuff. And we're like, I don't know. And we hold the B button. All of a sudden, things start happening. So now, of course, you know, when I put him to bed at night, you know, we're sort of chatting about the games. Like, and what is up with Star Voyager? That's the world's hardest game. You don't know what to do. You know, it's like this running joke between us now because I don't know what to do in that game. But all the games, it's like, you know, Bubble Bobble. I never played Bubble Bobble. You know, when I was a kid, I had an NES and I had three games. I had Tecmo Super Bowl, I had RBI Baseball, and I had Super Mario Brothers. That's it. I couldn't afford anything else, you know?
Those are three great games, though.
Yeah, I was doing and I had Blades of Steel. Sorry, I had Blades of Steel, too.
Oh, man. Hit the pass.
Hit bingo, right? So yeah. That's what I had. So there's hundreds of these games that I did not play, but they're tough. Even, you know, Super Mario, we were playing Super Mario Brothers 3. That is a tough game. I mean, it is ruthless, and it's interesting seeing him go through that. And he deals with it okay, but he, you know, is the phrase I heard about 10 different times tonight was, dang it, dang it.
Oh, that's great. That is fantastic.
So, so let's talk sports games.
Yes, let's talk sports games.
2016.
Yes.
What's your hot take on sports games, console sports games, 2016? Now that we're basically, you know, we're late November, we're near the end of the year, all the games are out, you've had a chance to really dive into all of them. What's your hot take?
So Rich, we had this conversation about a year ago. And last year, if I remember correctly, I said, man, this is the best year for sports games ever. I will take that back and say that 2016 is the best year for sports games ever. Like I said, this year has been a banner year for games. Sports games are no exception. I think that all of the big titles that everyone has been looking at and, you know, that they pay attention to, each and every one of them has put out the best version of their respective sport they have ever done. They are all phenomenal. It is really hard to choose a favorite amongst them all.
What I find most fascinating that is if you look at the NPDs for September 2016, the number one game, NBA 2K16, or 2K17, sorry.
Right.
Number two game, Madden NFL 17.
Right.
Number three, FIFA 17. Number four, NHL 17. This is all games, right?
Now, granted, and kudos to NHL.
Seriously.
For being up that high, and it's well-deserved.
It's fascinating to see how that franchise has rebounded. Now, what's also interesting is the NPD now is different. They're calculating digital revenue in addition to sales. And that's what I think propels NHL 17 into that number four slot, because just like any sports game anymore, it's all about, and I don't mean this in a cynical way, it's all about the ultimate team digital revenue and what gets derived from that. Right. But it's amazing how that series has rebounded, not only from a commercial standpoint, but also from a critical standpoint. It's tough to claw back. It's really tough, and they did it, or at least to a significant degree, they did it. It's kind of an amazing story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so they The last year's version basically – so, you know, 2 years ago, the version that came out for the current-gen consoles was very GIMP. It wasn't feature complete. You know, it wasn't even feature complete to the legacy generation version. And then last year's NHL – what year are we in? NHL 15 was – you know, was a return to a lot of those features that we had seen in previous years. And then in 16, they innovated on those things. And I think they've really done a great job of integrating all sorts of things, bringing in draft champions into NHL, you know, a brilliant move. And I think it's been very, very successful. Just all of the things that they're able to do, the what is it? It's not called chemistry, but the composure mechanic that they're using now for Hutt is for Ultimate Team is really good. It's just a great game, and, you know. And then on the ice, phenomenal. The fact that the puck has its own unique physics and it doesn't magnetize its way from one stick to the next stick, brilliant.
What I find most interesting, personally, is that I will probably tell you right now, and granted, I still have some time to make up my mind, my two favorite games, sports games, and actually, let's not kid ourselves, my two favorite games, because mostly what I play anymore is sports games, in 2016, our MLB 16 The Show and Pro Evolution 2017. I'm still playing them today. Mm. They are so good. Evo 2017, it's nowhere on any sales charts or anything like that. I hope that their version of Ultimate Team is making it profitable enough to where it continues. Have you played Pro Evo 2017?
I got to play it at E3, and I really enjoyed... I enjoyed the physics of the game. That game was football. That yes. game was soccer.
Yep.
In a way that FIFA isn't, but not to, you know, in no way to denigrate what FIFA is.
They're just different.
That's right. All. They are. They are different. Now, what I didn't like about Pro Evo was I felt like the game felt like Konami to me. The characters felt very Japanese. And that's just, you know, it's just a weird thing. And again, that's not, it's not even necessarily a negative, but it's just, it was just a thing that stuck out to me in my head that it didn't really feel like, whereas FIFA, I'm watching the game and if I'm not paying attention, I can be fooled into thinking I'm watching an actual match.
Okay.
Pro Evo, I didn't feel that way looking at the characters. But if I just wanted to play the game, they move and the ball reacts and the strategies that you use are much, much more sophisticated and they're better in Pro Evo.
I am so sucked into my Pro Evo Master League campaign. I downloaded the kits from the PES World. So right. All the teams have the right names. All of the jerseys are correct. Right? All the managers are correct. So the big hurdle for a lot of people, I'm over that hurdle because now Everton is Everton and Liverpool is right. Liverpool. They're not Merseyside Red, you know, right. or whatever. And I'm selling players. I'm buying players. I'm changing tactics. I'm doing all sorts of stuff. I'm just completely hooked on my Master League with Everton, and I can get through two or three matches in an hour, which is just great. Absolutely. Being able to make that kind of progress.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, none of that would matter if on the field the game didn't just play smooth as butter. And that's the same thing with MLB 16, The Show. I'm about to, in the next day or two, I'm going to be streaming Game 7 of the World Series. I played through a full 162-game season as the Mets. Won the wild card, won the division series, won the National League pennant, tweeted it out when I won the pennant, and a couple of people picked it up and retweeted it, and it was just a fun moment in time. And now I'm in Game 7 of the World Series against the Astros. That game is just unbelievably beautiful. It plays great. It looks amazing. It feels like baseball. You make a mistake, you make the wrong pitch to the wrong hitter, gone. You're done. Yeah. Just like in real baseball. And you make the right pitch to the right hitter at the right time, you're gonna strike him out or get that pop up. You know, you leave your batter, you leave your hitter in there a little bit too long, or you know, you're up by a run in the eighth inning and you're like, oh no, I'll just leave Matt Harvey in there instead of bringing your left-handed one inning guy. Like, you'll pay for it. It's unbelievable.
It really is. I played about, and you know, if you guys can hear, I'm a little, verklempt. I've got the not flu right now. So I was home from work today and, hopefully my boss isn't listening to this. I got five or six games of, the show in while I was working from home.
Nice.
And it had been maybe a month since I had picked the game up, but oh man, it's just so good. It's just so good.
It reminds you quickly. You're like, oh my God, I forgot how good this game is.
Yeah. And, you know, and just kudos to Ramon Russell and all those guys over at Sony San Diego, because every year you're like, what can they do to top? It's almost like NBA 2K. It's almost like the guys over at VC and 2K. Like, how can you top yourselves? How can you make this game any better than it already is? And somehow they do it. And it's really unbelievable.
Hey, everybody. We're going to take just a minute to thank our sponsor this week, the brand new podcast called Terms. I don't know if you guys are really familiar with we're in a golden age, a new golden age of, you know, drama, serial types of podcasts, you know, dramatic events and things like that. And Terms is the latest from Wondery, which is a fantastic site for a lot of these kinds of things. So Terms is a brand new show and really is basically pretty relevant these days, right? So America has voted in the most controversial president in U.S. history, Charles Dunlop. The outgoing two-term president, Oliver Pierce, makes a secret decision to act, setting in motion a series of events that will have historic and possibly catastrophic consequences. So what is the outgoing president? What's he going to do? Well, you got to check out the new podcast Terms. New episodes drop every Sunday. If you want to find it, all you have to do is go to Wondery.com and look for the show Terms. That's Wondery.com and look for the show Terms. I just listened to the trailer. This is some really high-quality stuff. It sounds fantastic. I'm really looking forward to checking it out. I'm a big fan of podcasts, and I really enjoy these types of episodic podcasts. It's kind of, like I said, we're in a real golden age of this kind of stuff. And once you start, it's really impossible to stop. And this is, you know, like your favorite TV drama or comedy. You know, these things, you really get sucked into them and find them really interesting. So all you got to do is go to Wondery.com, look for the show Terms. Terms, where all politics is personal. It's you can subscribe to it on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Wondery.com, or whenever and wherever you listen to podcasts. So once again, the show is called Terms, All Politics is Personal. It's a brand new podcast drama on the Wondery.com network. Go check it out. Thank you to Wondery and thank you to Terms for sponsoring this week's show. So let's talk NBA 2K.
Sure.
You have had both Scott O'Gallagher and L2DK. Wait, did I say that? Chris Manning.
Chris Manning, LD2K, yes.
Right. You've had him on your show over the last few months. NBA 2K moved up their launch date right into the teeth of the Madden/FIFA/NHL launch windows. It is the number one game.
Yes. And
so it's number one on the NPDs. It's number one in sales. It's killing it, as it always does. For you, is NBA 2K16, did they top themselves for you personally? Are you playing in it? Is it number one in your sports game rotation? Where is NBA 2K16 with you right now?
So I will say that I loved NBA 2K15, last year's game, but I didn't play it outside of, you know, I played the Living the Dream. I got into the My Player portion of it, and I did some My Team stuff. But I didn't play it that much. I'm playing a lot of NBA 2K16. I'm playing a lot of it this year.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's a matter of console. Last year I got 2K on my PS4. Mm-hmm. and my PS4 is my transient console. Sometimes it's in my living room, sometimes it's in my bedroom. And this year I got 2K on my Xbox, which stays in my living room. So I don't know if that is the reason, but I found myself playing 2K more this year than last year. I think the game is brilliant, but I think there's still an issue with the game. And I wrote about this in an article at OS about my player specifically, and that is that you come in, your guy is supposed to be the best player since sliced bread. He is LeBron James, Andrew Wiggins. He is all of the guys.
Except he is
terrible. Terrible. You know, when you get drafted, you know, everyone's talking about you as the second coming. You're gonna save the friend, you're gonna save a program.
You
are the president of basketball. Except you should be impeached because your rating is awful. You come in and if you ran your skills at your current rating of 50 or 65 or whatever it is, you wouldn't even get picked up in the second round of the draft. You know, so you wind up as a lottery pick, and everybody that gets picked around you, all your peers, get their 14 or 15 points better than you in their ratings.
So do you view that as the cynical approach, which is they do that purposely so VC can get you to buy credits and improve your player? Or do you view it the non-cynical way, which is this is a challenge and you got to put in the work to improve your guy through the different vehicles they give you to make those improvements over time?
I hate to say it, they're not mutually exclusive, right? Because sure, it is a challenge, but really, you want to play the game and you want to be able to be competitive. You don't have to be superior to the players that you're playing against, the AI opponents, but you have to be competitive with those AI opponents, and that means that you're going to have to sink in some VC. And every year I do the same thing. I buy the game, and I spend whether it be $60 for the game or I buy one of the premium editions, which comes with VC, I still always wind up spending more money on VC to juice my player, just to get them better. Just so that I can be competitive with the rest of the players there, so that if Ernie and Kenny and Shaq are talking about Prez as if, man, this kid Prez, he's gonna do something, blah blah blah. Well, he can't do anything if his jumper rating's a 60, and he can't run and he can't shoot and he can't dribble and he can't make layups. So, I want to be able to immerse myself and have what's on the court. So I just have to do it.
How do you play NBA 2K? Do you just play the single player? Do you go out to the park? Are you playing 5-on-5 multiplayer? Are you starting a fantasy league? Like one of the issues I have with it, but when I boot up NBA 2K, I'm almost paralyzed because there's 20 different directions that I could go. And in the past, I've spent most of my time typically playing both my player, right, and I've invested a lot of time. I don't even want to think about how much time. I've invested a lot of time building up my player year over year over year, to the point where now I've reached a similar spot where I had with MLB The Show, where I don't even bother with Road to the Show anymore because I've done it a bunch of times and right, I don't feel like starting over again. But I don't feel that same sense of been there, done that when I start a new season with my Brooklyn Nets, because number one, I got a lot of work to do with the Nets.
Right. You know what I mean?
So now when I do, When and I'll talk about this in a minute, but when I do get NBA 2K in my rotation, I've got a very specific thing that I'm going to do. So are you just playing one mode? Do you play two modes? Do you get out to the park? Are you doing pro-am? Like, what all are you doing, or what one thing are you doing when you – because you say you're playing a lot of NBA 2K. Are you focused on one thing, or are you sort of hitting a bunch of different spots?
Well, I spend a lot of time when I play, especially NBA and MLB, I play them like RPGs. And so I spend a lot of time in those single-player modes. Road to the Show.
So you're the opposite of me then.
Right. Okay, for the most part. Yep. And then I go to the park. But you know, I understand exactly what you're saying. And you know, a lot of that, we can draw a lot of parallels between MLB The Show and NBA 2K, because MLB The Show has broadened itself out to the point where you can be paralyzed by choice. There are so many different modes, and they play so very differently, and they're all very engaging, that you want to spend time in, you know, invest time in all of them.
Yes.
And you know, and you just don't have it.
Right.
NBA is the exact same way. If there is someone out there that's listening to me and is like me, who only plays my player, and you never played my team or my GM, stop what you're doing. And let me tell you, my GM is amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
I lost and now, right, 50 now hours of my life to that last year and enjoyed every moment of it.
Yeah. And now you can move teams around and, it's just unbelievable. It is really, really unbelievable. But I love my career. I love going to the park and taking my guy and going out there and doing that stuff. I don't do pro-am. I'm not that good. And, you know, I was at the Road to the Finals championship that they had in L.A. last June. And those teams were really good.
That's a completely different world, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can't finish the sentence. Like, right. I look at those guys, I'm like, they're doing something on a completely different level. And it's not like I look at them like a, you know, I like to play a little golf with my son on Sundays. We just get out there and we hack it up. You know, I like to shoot hoops. I'm the basketball coach for my, you know, third and fourth grade team. You know, I get out there like I don't have any. There's no doubt in my mind that I could, you know, compete with actual professional golfers or professional basketball players. Like, right. That's not even like a thing. But, you know, when I play my buddies in NBA 2K, I beat them, because typically right. They're not really that they don't have the muscle memory that I do of playing that game for 50 to 75 hours a year, every year for 7 or 8 straight years. And there's just everything that I know about NBA 2K, or everything I know about any of the games that I play, just nothing compared to the way that the guys that are doing that esports level stuff just understand everything that they're doing. A, they know what they're doing, and B, they know what they're going to do, and then they know what they're going to do 2 steps after that. And by the way, they know what you're going to do to combat that, so they got their other steps planned. It's crazy to watch that stuff.
Yeah. And the other thing about that is the pro-am stuff, they're playing as a team. These are 10 guys that have to, you know, one team and you know, 5 guys on one team, 5 guys on the other team, and they literally have to practice in order to run sets, figure out game plans, come up with schemes, and they enact those on the fly in games for money. You know,
the
championship winners won $250,000 and front row seats to the finals, game one of the finals. Not bad at all. But you know, a lot of work goes into that stuff, and I just don't have the time. I don't have the time, and nor do I think I have the talent. You know, and that's the other part of it is some people see those guys and they're like, oh, you know, I could do that, right? I play this game. I'm pretty good. If I devoted X amount of time to do this thing, I could be as good as them. Mm. And maybe you could, but I couldn't.
No,
I just know I can't. No way.
No, first of all, I'm old. So right, even if exactly. I wanted to, my hands don't work like they did 20 years ago.
That is for sure.
That it's just is a different sure. language. It's yes. a completely different
yes.
language.
Yes, it is.
So you're
yes,
all in on NBA 2K. I'm all in. It's there. I mean, I like the game, but it came out at the wrong time for me. Now, granted, there's still a whole year to go, but it came out weeks before the basketball season started. It came out when I was working and getting my Madden leagues going. It came out when I got Pro Evo. And, you know, I've become a very – well, that's not true. I've become a more than casual international soccer fan over the last 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
I know much more about it now than I did 4 or 5 years ago. I went to England about 3 years ago and spent a couple weeks over there, and it was the perfect time. I got to go to a Premier League match, and I got to just talk to people and ask them all the questions that I had never gotten the right answers to. Because just like with anything, right? If you read an article about a soccer match that happened, the person who's writing that article assumes that you know some of the things that he's talking about, right? Like if you read an article about a Champions League match, number one, it assumes you know what the Champions League is.
Exactly.
Number two, it assumes that you know that, okay, well, if this is a certain group stage, you know that everybody has to play everybody at their home pitch and their away or their home stadium and their away stadium, and that ultimately you went on goal differential, and that, by the way, an away goal counts more than a home goal. Like all of this stuff, and when I would read this stuff, I'm like, I don't understand what's happening here, you know. And then I didn't really understand what the different tournaments and competitions were. I would like read an article about Everton, and they're talking about, well, this is an FA Cup match. I'm like, what's the FA Cup?
What was that? Free agents? What?
This is a Capital League. Wait, the transfer window?
Right.
What's the transfer window? Wait, why are they starting it? Wait, they're starting in August, but then they take a break, and then people are moving. Wait, what's going on here? And I just didn't and I still, to this day, I remember. So what do you want to win? Do you want to win the Premier League, or do you want to win the FA Cup? Or do you want to win the Capital One Cup? Or do you want to win the champ? Like, what do you want to win? Like, what's the thing?
Right. What's the most prestigious thing?
Right.
And why are there 7 of them?
Right. And wait, so you don't have free agents? You just, players just leave and they go other places? And wait, so like, you can go from England to France, but then you can also be in Italy?
Right.
And wait, relegation. Talk to me. What is this whole thing? Because, like, that ain't a thing here. So, just I had extended conversations over several wonderful pints of beer in various places, and I just got immersed and I got those basic questions answered. And once you know, Americans, we understand how North American sports are played, right? There's a major league, and those major leagues have a regular season. And then they have a playoffs, and then they have a championship. They have minor leagues. Those minor leagues feed players into the major leagues. So those minor league teams, the best minor league teams, don't move up into the majors, and the worst major league teams move to the minor. Like, that's not what happens. Right.
Now in the AL East, the Trenton Thunder.
Yeah. So that doesn't happen. And I just, you know, I got, and then, of course, the whole thing is sponsorships, too, which is just. And I just learned so much about – I had always enjoyed watching international soccer, but I didn't know what was really happening. And I'm the kind of guy, just like with music, right? If I don't know who the artist is that I'm listening to, I don't have the same – I got to know. When I hear a song –
You can't get that same level of enjoyment out of it.
No, not at all. I want to know who it is. I want to know what's going on. I want to know where this is in their catalog, right? Was this from their – when they just got started? Is this during their controversial middle years? You know, is this when they got fat, lazy, and like, where am I? What am I listening to? All the same thing with sports. Like, if I don't, I would watch these games and I would say, man, this is really entertaining. I really like this, but I don't understand what I'm really watching. So when I got that fundamental understanding of what it was and just got all those questions answered, it changed my whole perspective. And I've been a huge fan since. And that timed very well with when NBC got the rights to show the Premier League. And now, if you got a television or a phone or a tablet, you can watch any Premier League game live for free, which is another whole thing. So now I see every Everton match, and I see a whole bunch of other matches too. So that really, in the last few years, has really just completely, it's opened up, and that has translated into me really getting a lot more understanding and enjoyment out of the soccer games, you know, the right. FIFAs and the Pro Evolutions. And I think that's what has really helped spur me towards enjoying them a lot more, because I, just like you, have been playing basketball and baseball and football and hockey games forever.
Right.
I've dabbled in soccer games for a long time, but really, especially with the dawn of the new generation, these soccer games are so good. And now I understand what's happening so much more. I'm just so drawn to both FIFA and Pro Evolution. It's so much more than anything else. I'm
now, Rich, may I ask you a question?
Of course.
Since we're talking about soccer games, and you talked about your affinity for PES, and especially PES this year, mm-hmm. FIFA this year, have you played FIFA? I know you have played FIFA. What do you think of FIFA? Have you played The Journey?
I have. I've played The Journey.
Right.
If it weren't for Pro Evolution, I probably have played a lot of FIFA. I probably would have played a lot of The Journey. I still will at some point play FIFA. And I'll probably do what I did last year, which was once Pro Evo came out last year, I played about 3 full seasons of the Master League. So that's between the Premier League. That's probably about 45 games times 3. So what's that? It's 90, 100. I probably played somewhere between 130 and 150 games over the course of 3 seasons. I built my club, sold players, you know, developed players. I went super young. I got rid of all the guys who were 30 or older. Terrible, right. You know, just being terrible. Well, look, I'm going young. And I built it up. So by like year 3, I finally won the Premier League. And for me, winning the Premier League and Pro Evolution, like that is a major accomplishment. That game is hard.
Yes, it is.
That game is hard. I mean,
yes, it is.
I had never done anything like that. And then after that, I could have kept going, but like, you know what? I want to give FIFA a chance. And I did pretty much the same thing in FIFA. Right, so I put Pro Evo 2016 away, and then I played FIFA, and I was playing FIFA right up until FIFA 16, right up until the new sports games came out this fall. So I'm probably gonna do the same thing, because I've played FIFA through my Xbox One EA Access, which is the best service I think you can possibly get.
Oh my goodness,
it's spectacular.
Yes.
So I played all of The Journey that EA Access would let me play, and I played probably half a dozen regular matches, and I'm like, okay, this is really good. But there's no reason for me to go out and spend $60 on FIFA 17 right now when I've already got Pro Evo here, and what I'll do is, and some maybe some Black Friday sale, or you know, who knows, maybe I don't know when it goes into the vault. I probably won't be able to wait until then, although it will go into the vault well before FIFA 18 comes out. But at a certain point in time, I'll play 2 or 3 or 4 seasons in Pro Evo, and then be like, all right, let's go do FIFA. Because for all of the wonderful things that Pro Evo offers, FIFA kicks Pro Evo's butt when it comes to realism as far as the clubs.
Yes.
The stadiums, the crowds, you know, the chants, the announcers. And that means something.
Right.
It totally means something. So I will play more. I enjoyed The Journey. I really liked how I could have my player represent any club. I really enjoyed, you know, setting his favorite club to Everton and have those being the posters on his wall. And his, you know, his granddad being an old Evertonian, and then going to the camp, and you know, then going on the international tour and scoring the first goal in Seattle, like all that kind of stuff, I just got a huge kick out of. I'll be interested to see if, since I've done that, if I do pick it up, my strong sense is I'm going to get it on the PlayStation 4. So will I go through that again or not? Don't know. So I'll flip the question around to you. Have you played FIFA 17? Have you played The Journey? If so, what are your thoughts on it?
I really, really like it. I really like it. You know, obviously the immediate comparisons struck up between that and last year's Living the Dream with NBA 2K. You know, obviously it looks like EA saw what the guys over at VC were able to do, and they improved upon it.
And by the way, I'm on record as enjoying Living the Dream.
Yes, as am I.
Okay, good. I think you and I are the only two who, like,
a year later
will admit that, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yes, it was corny and cheeseball, but that's the point, right?
Exactly.
Come on.
Right. Yeah, we're not watching Citizen Kane.
Bingo.
We're playing basketball for crying out loud. So, I, like you, did not purchase FIFA yet, and I'm waiting for a kick butt sale, whether it be Black Friday or later in the year or when it goes into the vault. The problem is there's just too much to play.
Bingo.
And while I want to give these guys my money.
Yes.
I want to give them my money when I'm able to play.
Well, and with FIFA, they're doing okay with their money.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. They're not necessarily missing my $60.
Like, I'm happy to give Pro Evo my $60. I want them to have that full price. I don't think FIFA... Not that my $60 makes that much of a difference, but you know what I'm saying. I mean,
absolutely.
I want Pro Evo to get the love as much as they can, because FIFA, man, it's number two with a bullet. They're making bank, as they should. You know, they're the ones who invented this whole thing that we got going on with Ultimate Team and digital revenue. It's all tied back to FIFA. It's all tied back to that crew who 7-8 years ago came up with this trading card situation that I think has saved sports games. I would be very surprised if sports games as we know them would exist at all if it weren't for Ultimate Team. These licenses that these leagues want are wildly expensive.
Yes.
The technology, the manpower that it takes to make these games is, I think most people have no idea what it takes to put these games together. I still don't truly have an appreciation for what it takes to make one of the. I have an appreciation for what it takes to make certain kinds of games and certain kinds of software.
Right.
And as much as I love, out of the park developments and what they build, they don't build games like FIFA or Madden. It's much more about math and equations and stuff, and for my money, Out of the Park Developments is the best in the world at what they do, but that's not drawing players moving around on a field realistically with physics and stuff. That's a whole other thing with the art and the AI. I mean,
right.
So I am happy that has all happened, but yeah, I'm cool with the Black Friday sale or waiting for the vault for FIFA. I think they'll be okay without my $60.
Yeah, plus if you want to look at it from this perspective as well, it's Pro Evo and Konami they're the last guys actually competing for a sport.
Yep.
This is the only sport. Soccer is the only sport where there are two actual competing video games on the shelves relatively at the same time. So if you're gonna support somebody, support the underdog. Not to say don't go out and buy FIFA, because you're gonna go out and buy FIFA anyway. But if you want to give a game a shot, PES is definitely a really good game.
I feel. One of the interesting things about how my life has changed in the last year and a half or so is now that I don't have to play every sports game, it's kind of freeing to really just say, you know what, I'm just going to play this same game for like 6 months and enjoy it. Like, it's nice. And of course, I'm not playing just that game. I'm actually playing regularly. As I've said, not only am I playing Pro Evo regularly, I'm playing still MLB The Show on the treadmill. I'm in two Madden leagues.
Nice.
Right. So where are you with Madden? I'm having a hard time with Madden this year. I'm not good at it. I'm not good.
Really?
When I say having a hard time, not like I don't like it. It's just kicking my butt. Like, I lost. I'm in two leagues and I played the CPU and I lost both games this past week. Now,
I've found that you have to be better at reading defenses.
Oh, and I don't read a defense at all. I'm like, I'm calling this play, and I'm running this play, and I don't give a damn what's going on.
Right. You can't be Colin Kaepernick out there.
That would explain a lot of my problems.
Yeah, you gotta put a guy in motion to see if a corner is gonna follow.
Nope.
See if you're gonna do man, if they're man coverage or if there's a zone coverage.
Not doing
that. Yeah, I mean, you've gotta read the blitzes and change your blocking scheme.
So much work.
Right. You actually have to play football.
That would explain why I'm losing. The other reason I'm losing is because I'm doing play offense only, because I don't like playing defense. So I just, every time I look up, my defense is just getting scored on. So even though I'm doing okay on offense, I'm not doing great. Even though I'm doing okay, my defense just gets big momented up and down the field. So, but I mean, I know I can't do any better on defense, so I can just blame the big moments.
The Philadelphia Eagles. So,
well, actually this year I'm in my two leagues. In one league, I'm the Packers, and in one league, I am the Bengals. Dude, I played a game as the Packers last night. I threw 5 interceptions with Aaron Rodgers. 5. And then, because I knew that I had played pretty poorly the last few weeks after the game, I went and checked my season stats so far. And I've thrown 7 touchdowns and 18 interceptions with Aaron
Rodgers. Oh, my gosh.
And I then emailed the league. I said, yep, lost again, threw 5 interceptions. 7 TDs, 18 interceptions for the year. I literally have no idea what I'm doing. Hit the send button. I mean, I'm just a mess with Madden this year. An absolute complete mess.
Now, you said you're playing the offenses. Have you delved into the play the moments mode for Madden?
Well, yeah. Where I have landed now is obviously some of the games are against humans, so I'm forced to play defense against the human. But when I play the CPU, I typically I don't do just play the moments, because I really want to play all the offensive plays. So I pick to play the offense, and it's a really fun way to play the game. Again, if my defense could ever stop anybody. So that's how I play Madden when I'm not playing a human.
Yeah, I love play the moments. I think it's phenomenal.
It's a disconnected experience, though. Like, I really lose my connection to the game completely.
It is and it isn't. You know, if you're in a Madden league where I'm in a league and it's just a couple of guys, so if you can get through, you can do play the moments and you can get through a season in a week, maybe two, because the games are so quick, and when you look at it from the macro level and you say, yeah, I'm disconnected from the team right now, but the team I have right now is not the team that I'm trying to, it's not the destination squad. That's not the dynasty squad. And when you get to the dynasty squad, that's when you sit back and say, all right, now I want to play the offense, or I want to play the defense, or I want to play full games. I'm just playing the moments right now because I just want to get rid of these guys. I just need to Al Davis this squad away and get some speed. And, so that's part of the reason that I really, really love play the moments. You can get through a game in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
I completely agree. And if I could just my issue, and I talked about it on the show before, is to get good at Madden, you gotta work. And I'm just not willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
I just show up and I play my games and I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it. I'm it's a credit to the game, because every year it plays more and more like real football.
Absolutely.
And it's not like I'm trying to run the same money plays. Like the other thing that I do is I just say, all right, what are you recommending, coach? And then I'll flip around between the coach recommendations and the community recommendations and the strategy recommendations. So it's not like I'm trying to call, quote unquote money plays or stuff that worked. I'm looking around and I'm not good. That's what it comes down to. I'm not good. I'm okay with that.
Right.
I just have to reconcile the fact that I'm not good. I used to be good. I was never great. But pretty much I'd have the same pattern every year in my online leagues, which, by the way, Madden online leagues, still fantastic.
Fantastic, yes. Absolutely fantastic. Still the best in the business.
Year one, I would typically make the playoffs, lose the first game to a human. Mm-hmm. Year two, I typically make the playoffs, maybe win the first game versus a human, certainly wouldn't win more than one game in the playoffs versus a human. Year three, as people drop out and there's less and less people, I'll make the conference championship and lose. Year four, I make the Super Bowl and lose. Like, I pretty much followed that blueprint for the last 3 or 4 years. This year, or this game, I'm not sure that blueprint is going to fall. I don't think I'm going to make the playoffs this year in either of my leagues. I'm like,
wow.
I think I'm like 8-5 in one, and I'm 5-4 in the others, and I was sort of poking around the standings both ways, and like, I'm going to have to go on a run here to get to a wild card, and I don't kind of see that happening. So
yeah, you know you got to skunk your team in order to get a good draft pick too, man. Either make the playoffs or shut it down.
Yeah, one or the other. And I'm gonna be that 8-8 team that doesn't make the playoffs and still doesn't get a draft pick till number 10. And by the way, yeah, I'm such a terrible scout that I'm not gonna know who to pick when it comes my time to draft.
Yeah, so that's the one thing that I think on the field, you know, we talk about Madden a lot, and you know, a lot of the things that you're saying, years past, you were able to play Madden like it was a video game and succeed. And now you have to play Madden like it's football. And the one portion of the game that's still not quite football is scouting. And it's not quite there yet. They're almost there, but not there, you know, maybe another year or two to tweak it.
It'll be fascinating to see this, you know, the scuttlebutt is that this was sort of year three of the latest 3-year cycle, and that next year is a big splash. We saw FIFA moving to Frostbite Engine this year. So there's a lot of assumptions that next year will be when Madden goes to FIFA. There's people, you know, saying, not people that work in the game, but just people in the community saying, yep, next year they're going to go to Frostbite. Next year we'll get a story mode there, just like we got with Journey. Like, if you sort of look at FIFA as the template, then Madden and NHL over the next year and or two will sort of make the same move, you know, and FIFA will be the leader, and they'll be the close followers. It'll be really fascinating to see. You know, they've given you some glimpses in Madden. What I kind of hope that Madden does is not necessarily go for the same kind of story mode that they've done in NBA 2K and that they've done in the Journey. Right. What I hope, and it's been a while since I've said this, but what I would like to see, and not in the, you know, entitled gaming fan, what I want to see is this, right? Not that attitude, but just sort of what would be really interesting, and they've teased us in the last couple of years, each of the openings of the game, it's been Madden, but it's been from a slightly different perspective. There's been a little bit more like you're on the field, you're really on the field kind of a kind of a situation. It would be really interesting if they would put their own touches in whatever the new way to play the game isn't a straight-up story, but much more of a you can experience the game much more like you are the quarterback on the field with the chaos and the interaction with the players and the interaction with the coaches. And it'll be interesting to see if they go that way or if they sort of follow the map of the Journey in the NBA 2K story mode.
I would love for something like a season-long type of that intro sequence that they've had in the last two Maddens where, you know, even if we're not given 16 games, maybe we're given 4 or 6 games.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
During the course of a season, and you just get those moments that they are very cinematic or are, you know, and you're super, super immersive. I would love to see that kind of stuff.
I'm totally cool with that because, like, with NBA 2K, another reason that I'm kind of, like, just holding off on NBA 2K is, man, the amount of time that you got to spend grinding in the single-play story mode, I'm not interested in that. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm not interested in that. Right. And the idea of a 4 to 6 hour mode that I can play and have something resembling a complete experience that isn't the same thing that I've done before, to me personally, sounds really appealing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and the guys over at the show, Sony San Diego, they've gotten that part right. Where, you know, like you talk about the grind in NBA 2K, you know, you get through the grind of the game. And even if you only play one mode and that game for the predominance of the year, you're only able to get through a season and a half, maybe 2 seasons before the next game is out. And then you've got to start that entire process all over again.
Yep.
At least with the show, they've allowed you to take your player from, you know, from one version of the game to the next version of the game.
Yep.
And so you can just keep continue to move on. So, you know, eventually you'll be able to have your Road to the Show character retire and, you know, and collect all of the riches that that come with being the record holder in all of these different categories. But you have a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Like, I've taken this character through his career. And you never get that opportunity with 2K.
And I understand, or at least I think I understand why that is in 2K, is because unlike in Road to the Show, which is limited to a single mode, your character in NBA 2K is everything. It's not just your guy for my player, but it's your guy in the park, right? It's your guy in a couple, two or three different modes. So if you max him out year one and you bring him forward to year two, you're just going to have, you know, on day one, a bunch of, you know, 99 rated overall guys just crushing everybody. And then, of course, again, there's the cynical view is, well, you know, if you do that, then they can't get you with the VC. And, you know, I'm not so cynical to say that that drives everything. But look, they're running a business, and
absolutely,
a lot of their business model is built upon getting additional revenue in addition to the $60 that they get. And by the way, the $60 that you pay for a game like NBA 2K with the amount of stuff that you can do, it's massive.
Right.
So, you know,
it's a bargain.
I'm not down on getting additional revenue. I mean, this is a free economy. Nobody is telling you, Cicero, that you got to pay any extra money for it. But if you are willing to do it, and everybody's being honest with everybody about what you're getting for your money's worth, you want to drop another $50-$100 on the game over the course of a year, God bless you, man. Go do it.
Right.
That's what I think anyway.
Yeah. That definitely, you know, you have the right to choose and, you know, go ahead and choose with your wallet.
Exactly. Well, all right, my friend, this was a lot of fun.
I
really enjoyed this. Once again, remind everybody where they can find you and Khalif and the whole Spawn On Me crew out there in the wilds of the internet.
Oh, yeah. So make sure, guys, you check out. First off, thanks so much for having me on the Press Row podcast. It has been way too long, so I'm really happy to have been back. But if you guys are interested in the Spawn On Me podcast and you want to check us out, you can go to Twitter and find us at Spawn On Me. I am at Stubby Stan. Khalif is at Kajakins, and Sharif Jackson is at Sharif Jackson. He's got a good job with branding there. Check us out on iTunes and NPR One and Google Play and you know, your favorite podcatcher. We release an episode every Tuesday. You can find us and find our archives. If you want to find our archives, you can go to our website, spawnon.me.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir, as always. We will not make it be so long between now and the next time we talk.
Better
of
not.
Of course, it won't be that long until it's a sports game of the year
that
ratings,
is
and you know you'll be heavily involved in that, as you have been for the last couple of years as well. So lots of good stuff coming up. Thank you, Cicero Holmes.
Thank you, Rich.
Appreciate it. Everybody, have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you again real soon.